I want to say to all of the widows in the church today, and I want to include, along with all who have been widowed, all the godly women who struggle with the unique pressures that come with being a single mother. You have a special place in the heart of God.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we continue our series, 10 Distinctives of a Gospel-Centered Church.
Yes, we're in the first letter of Timothy, and that's really what it's all about. This is a marvelous letter in which God lays out his priorities for the local church, and that comes through the writing of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Now, we often find ourselves asking the question, you know, what matters in a church? What's important? Mm-hmm. What's important to you in a church? Well, of course, the bigger question is, what really matters to God in a church? What does he call us to do? And today, very wonderfully, in 1 Timothy in chapter 5, we're going to see that compassion matters to God. Caring for those who are in need and vulnerable is something that God calls us to as the body of Christ, doing his work and his ministry in the world.
Well, as you just said, we are in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. So grab a Bible and join us there as we begin our message, Gospel Compassion. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, we're continuing today our series, 10 Distinctives of a Gospel-Centered Church. And today, believe it or not, is week number 7. And we're looking at this great subject of gospel compassion. I hope you're getting the flow of this letter. We've been seeing from chapter 2 onwards that Christ has called the church to a global ministry of the word and of prayer. We've asked the question, what kind of people are going to get this job done? And we've looked at the kind of character and competence that we need in order to maximize our effectiveness for the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we've asked the question, how are we going to develop that character? How can I grow in a godly life? And we've seen together that the answer is not a program, but it is, thank God, a person. Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness. And it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. Jesus Christ in your life is the hope of you living the life that God is calling you to live. Now, if the life of Jesus Christ is in us, and that was what we were looking at last time, it stands to reason that the character of the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen through us. And so the last two chapters of 1 Timothy that we're going to look at over these next weeks really spell out what a life that is motivated by the presence of Jesus Christ really looks like. And so today we're going to look at gospel compassion at the first part of chapter 5. A gospel-centered church will show the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is full of this marvelous theme of the compassion of God. How God cares for his children. How God especially has a heart for those who do not have other people who are able to care for them. Listen to the testimony of Moses, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 18. He says about God, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the alien and gives to the alien food and clothing. That's what Moses says about God. King David puts it the same way in the Psalms. He says, sing to God a song of praise. Here is something really to be celebrated, that God is a father to the fatherless, he says, and a defender of widows. Have you ever thought about the fact that an entire book of the Bible is given to the story of three widows? Ruth and Orpah and Naomi. And how God cared. In his sovereign power over the whole universe, God cared for these three women and gave them hope and gave them a future. Of course, we see the compassion of God most clearly in our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke tells us in chapter 7 about a time when Jesus went to a town called Nain. And can you picture this as he comes with his disciples to the town gate? He sees a large crowd, and they're coming out of the town, and there's a widow. and she is overwhelmed with sorrow. Not only has her husband obviously died, but now her only son has died, and the crowd is there to support her in the funeral. And Luke tells us that Jesus had compassion on her. That one word in English hardly gets it. The original word means something like this: Jesus was moved to the core of his being when he saw this. And in his divine power, he touches the corpse and raises this boy to life and gives him back to his mother. It's not surprising when you think of how full the whole Bible is of the compassion of God, and especially the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, that when you come towards the end of the New Testament, what you find is that ministries of compassion are a distinctive mark of faithful churches. You find it right from the beginning in Acts in chapter 6, where we read about a daily distribution of food organized by the church for widows within the congregation. And then we come to 1 Timothy in chapter 5 that I hope you have open in front of you today. And I want you to notice, I actually counted up the verses, about one-sixth of this entire New Testament letter is devoted to the single subject of the church's care for widows. That should tell us the importance of compassion in the heart of God. And I want to say to all of the widows in the church today, and I want to include, along with all who have been widowed, all the godly women who struggle with the unique pressures that come with being a single mother, you have a special place in the heart of God. And this passage of Scripture that's open before us today is just one of many, many places where the heart of God towards you is made very clear indeed. Now, what Paul is doing here is he is urging the church to cultivate a culture of caring and of serving. And we want to take that seriously in the Orchard because of our commitment to the gospel. It is a distinctive of a gospel-centered church that, reflecting the heart of God as seen in our Lord Jesus Christ, it will be a caring church, a compassionate church, a church where people learn what it is to serve one another in the body of Christ. And we're going to look at what that is in the New Testament. I'm going to give you a number of examples today of that actually happening in our midst for our encouragement that we would pursue this kind of ministry as a distinctive of a gospel-centered church. So cultivating a culture of caring, cultivating a culture of serving. We're going to focus most on caring, which is in verses 1-8. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here today is that there will be genuine need in the church. Three times the Apostle Paul makes this clear. Verse 3, give proper attention to those widows who are really in need. So he's making it clear there will be real needs in the church of Jesus Christ. God allows it to be so that we may learn to minister to one another. Verse 5, the widow who is really in need, a real need, she's left all alone and she puts her hope in God. Or verse 16, where Paul speaks about the responsibility of the family first, but then at the end of the verse, he says that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So three times, that one phrase, really in need, really in need, really in need. He's making it very clear that in a local church, there will be real needs among the people of God. And what that means for us, therefore, is that we need to learn to discern where the genuine needs are. It's always right in that situation to ask what provision God has already made. What can a person do for himself or for herself? What means are already available? But Paul is making it clear that there will be genuine needs in the church, and that the church, verse 3, must give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. And he says, verse 16, the church should help, notice that word, those widows. Now, this gets to a very important question. How do you know in life who you should help and who you should support?
What a practical and important question. And in just a moment, we're going to come back and answer that. So I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Cullen Smith. And our message is called Gospel Compassion, part of our series, 10 Distinctives of a Gospel-Centered Church. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. Whether you listen to this program on the radio, online, or through the app, it's all made possible because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Pastor Cullen has picked out. It's called The Incomparable Christ, written by John Stott. This book is a deep dive into who Jesus is. And as you read this book, you'll find that Jesus is like no other, worthy of worship, confession, and obedience. We'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Cullen.
How do you know in life who you should help and who you should support? And this is not simply a question for pastors in seeking to discern how church money should be used. It's a question for all Christians with regards to our generosity, and particularly for some of us. These are very real questions in relation to our own family circle. How do you know when to help? And how do you know when to stand back? Especially when money is involved. Now, folks, the Bible is a wonderfully practical book. And right here in 1 Timothy in chapter 5, Paul shows us the path of wisdom in two abiding principles. The first is that God's first provision comes through the family. I want you to see how clear that is in the scripture. It comes again three times in verse 4, verse 8, and verse 16. Three times Paul makes it clear that God's first provision is in the circle of the family. Verse 4, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. So the responsibility is first within the family, he's saying in verse 4. At verse 16, the same thing. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them. And her responsibility comes before the responsibility of the church. The Bible says it is God who sets the solitary in families. And where we have members of our own family, what Paul is saying here is where there are needs, we have a particular responsibility to consider how we might help. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And you see the point that Paul is making here. He's saying, look, even pagans, even unbelievers, in many cases know what it is to care for their own. How much more we who know Jesus Christ? Now, it's worth thinking for a moment about how financial support worked in the early world. In those times, as in many other parts of the world still today, financial support for a woman and for her children came in the form of a dowry, that is, money that followed a woman into her marriage and was kept there. The dowry was kept, and if the husband died, the dowry became the means of financial support for the widow, and indeed, if there were young children, for the family also. But what if the dowry has been spent? Then a woman could be in genuine need. Guys, I don't know about you when you got married, but my wife didn't bring a dowry into the marriage. But it is my responsibility as a Christian husband to consider how my wife would be provided for if God should call me home early. And particularly, that has been my responsibility during the years of our children growing up. I found a great way to do this, by the way. It's called a life insurance policy. And I want to tell you, I'm receiving no commissions whatsoever for saying this. But I'll tell you, every family should have one. John Stott, the great commentator, says that precisely on this verse. I was fascinated that he made this point in print. He says of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, this verse tells us that it is a fundamental Christian duty to provide for our relatives. This is plain biblical warrant, he says, for a life insurance policy, which is only a self-imposed savings plan for the benefit of our dependents. Christian wisdom. But there will be some folks who do not have this kind of provision. Paul says, now, let's exercise wisdom while we have opportunity, but let's also exercise compassion where such provision has not been made. And if there is someone in need within your family circle, then together with other relatives, you will want to consider what you might be able to do to help. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says about the motive here. He gives us two. He says in verse 4, when you're caring for other members within your own family circle, and especially if you are caring, whether it be financially or whether it be in other forms of support, if you are caring for elderly parents or if you are caring for grandparents in need, then you're doing two things. He says, verse 4, number one, you are repaying of the good things that they have poured into your life. And second, he says, you are bringing pleasure to the heart of God. He says, this is pleasing to God. Don't you think one of the most poignant and beautiful moments in all of the suffering and passion of the Lord Jesus is when in his agony on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ looks down and he sees John the disciple and he sees Mary his mother. Do you remember how John records these poignant words? How the Lord Jesus said, dear woman, here is your son. And then said to John, his disciple, son, here is your mother. And John says, from that time, this disciple took her, took Mary, into his own home. Do you see what's happening? That even in his agony on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ is providing for the care of his mother. That's your God. Oh, there may have been people in the world who did not do that for you, but that's your God. And what he's saying here is that first we are to take responsibility within the context of our own family, but second, as the family of God, we are to be sensitive and compassionate towards particular needs within the body of Christ. Let me give this word of encouragement. There are many in our congregation who are doing an amazing job caring for elderly parents, caring for grandparents. I want you to hear this today. Your ministry is a reflection of the heart of God. It really is. Paul says, this is pleasing to God. It is a ministry that brings a reflection of Christ and a touch of the Holy Spirit. You know, God made a great promise in the Old Testament. He said, even to your old age and to your gray hairs, God said, I am he who will sustain you. So if you are caring for an elderly person, you are reflecting the promise and the heart of God. This is not a small thing. Visitation, care, help, compassion, a reflection of the heart of Jesus Christ. God's first provision is through the family. And then God's first priority is a godly life. I want you to see the second principle here. It's very important. Look at verse 5 and 6. Paul describes here two kinds of widow. And do you notice the contrast? He talks about one who puts her hope in God, and then he talks about another who lives for pleasure. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. He's talking about spiritual death there. Now, this introduces a second and also very important consideration in discerning how we should help a person in need. The church should not give in a way that supports or enables an ungodly lifestyle. And so it's right to ask a question as we're seeking to discern what we should do in any situation. Is this person committed to pursue a godly life? So here are two very practical questions that we should consider when we're faced with a situation of need. What provision has God already made for this person? And what commitment has this person already made with regards to God? And Paul is making it clear that although the family responsibility comes first, there will be times when God provides for his people through the kindness that is expressed within the body of the local church. When the family is not there, or when the family isn't interested, there is the family of God. And we are God's household.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Gospel Compassion. Really a helpful look today at 1 Timothy chapter 5, thinking about how we cultivate a culture of caring and decide who we help and how we help. Well, today's message is part of a series called 10 Distinctives of a Gospel-Centered Church. It's really a study of the book of 1 Timothy. And if you missed any of the programs in this series, you can come and listen at our website, openthebible.org. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free at your app store, and it's a great way to listen on demand, or you can order a copy of this entire series on CD. Ask about 10 distinctives of a gospel-centered church when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, whether you listen to Open the Bible on the radio, online, through the podcast, or however you've connected, it's all made possible through your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you a copy of a book by John Stott called The Incomparable Christ. And Colin, what's the one thing that you'd like people to take away from this book?
Oh, well, Jesus once asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And that is the most important question I think that any of us could ever answer. When you settle in your mind and your heart who Jesus is, you really laid a foundation for your life and for everything else. You can rest the weight of your life, your death, and your eternity on him. And Peter's answer to that question, when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ." Now, this book, The Incomparable Christ, really lifts up who Jesus is, how he's presented to us in the New Testament, how he has been understood throughout the history of the church, how he's inspired people through the centuries, and how he will be when we see him in his power and his glory when he returns. It's a marvelous book. I think it's the best book you can read about Jesus, The Incomparable Christ, and I think that people will be greatly blessed by this book.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can call and give over the phone. The number is 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365. And our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace. You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.